Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Welcome to Kingdom Pursuits. Today, we have sort of a Christmas edition coming. It's really, we're in Advent, and how fun it is to think about things this season. And I always am amazed at how God takes people's passion, use it to build the kingdom. And it seems like we have so many opportunities this time of year to share all sorts of interesting things in so many different interesting ways. Well, first off, we have a gentleman I've never had on before. His name is Jay Howard, and he is with a ministry. Well, his website is called Focus on the Faulty. Welcome, Jay.
Hi, Robbie. Thank you for having me come.
So I'm guessing that that's a bit of a takeoff on Focus on the Family.
Well, actually, we like to think that they took off on us.
Okay.
Yeah, they're a little struggling ministry, and they just needed a boost, so they used Focus on the Family because it sounded like Focus on the Faulty.
Yeah, there you go.
That's my take on it, and I'll stick to it.
So what is Focus on the Faulty?
Well, the ministry actually is called Religious Research Project. The website is Focus on the Faulty. But for 35 years now, my ministry has been kind of based in the area of cults, apologetics, world religions, and I do seminars around the country, done some international work for many years. And we just teach on how an average Christian can share their gospel with, say, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Scientologist or a person who's in the occult or something like that, because there are so many lost souls, as I heard you say in the beginning of your show, and we're just trying to find ways to give people an avenue to share the gospel with all kinds of people.
Yeah, you can see that this is going to be an interesting discussion today on Kingdom Pursuits. As what Jay doesn't know, as he's fixing to find out, is that Robbie was in the SEAL organization. That would be me, of the Church of Scientology in Los Angeles.
Oh, you were with Sea Org?
Yeah, I was.
Whoa. And
so I'm more than familiar with Scientology. I'm very familiar with it. And so it'll be interesting, the discussion we have along those lines, because I have experience on that most people really have no concept of. But anyway, also with me today to round out my Christmas Advent show today, we have Ken Heater, one of my favorite friends. He's been with me many, many, many times on Kingdom Pursuits. He is the executive director of the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, and Christmas is a huge time for you guys.
It's a huge time, Robbie, and it's really great to be back with you. Always enjoy being able to get with you and share and talk and just see what God's doing. Christmas is an exciting time, and I'm sure we'll be talking about some other things of that as well.
I just want you to think about, as you're pondering, like Mary did in her heart, these things about Christmas, have you got a new believer that that's experiencing Christmas for the first time this year? And I'm sure at the Rescue Mission you got two or three of those guys. And all of a sudden, they've got this heart that is just hungry for what, they've experienced Christmas for 40 years, like me, when before I came to Christ. I haven't experienced it, but I never experienced it until I was born again. And so, wow, have you got somebody like that? And we, at the boot camp last fall, Ken, we had a gentleman that got so excited, he accepted Christ at the boot camp, and he wanted to be baptized in the lake at boot camp. And then, I got to find, what translation of the Bible should I get, Robbie? And just to watch his face and his excitement at Christmas is like that newborn baby, or that 2 or 3 year old that's opening that first Christmas present, which, by the way, I got a really cute video of my soon to be 2 year old grandson opening a book for Christmas that was sent to me the other day. And I looked at that and I thought, how wonderful, how wonderful. So speaking of Christmas, you knew I was going to get to this, didn't you, Rachel? Speaking of Christmas,
Travis Mallion Foundation unites communities to strengthen America.
That's an interesting commercial I've never heard before. But speaking of Christmas, what do you call? I know you're waiting for this, Ken, and Jay's never experienced this before. But those who are used to Robbie's riddles, here they come. And I've got a bunch of Christmas riddles, right, Rachel? So do you find my? No, That's not it either. All right, well, I'll just go on. Speaking of Christmas, what do you call a snowman with a six-pack? And I'm talking about an abdominal snowman. That's what you call it. What do snowmen call their offspring? I bet you've wondered about that. Some people think they're called children, but I think they're called a snowball's chance. That's my personal opinion. And I know you're going to like this one. Why is Christmas just like any other day at the office? Because you do all the work and the fat guy with the suit gets the credit. Are you getting these, Jay? Are you writing them down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're writing them down. I'm probably going to steal most of them.
All right. What language, and maybe you've heard this one before. I love it, and I use it every year, but it just tickles me every time I see it. What language does Santa speak? Ken, you got any ideas? North Polish.
North Polish. It would take me a while to get that one. Sorry.
Yeah. And what do you call a girl who's singing Silent Night at your front door? Carol, that would, every time it works, that happens. And so, since this is my time on Kingdom Pursuits every year where I get to share my Christmas riddles, I have to share my all-time favorite. And I share this every year, and rather than having a biblical riddle, I have to use this one because this is, interestingly, you wouldn't know how many times I get asked to tell this joke. And so, here we go, Ken. You may have heard it before, so you could get ready to call in at 866-348-7884. The riddle's simple enough. How many reindeer does Santa have? How many reindeer? Rachel, are you getting this? How many reindeer does Santa have? Now, most people, and Ken's holding up eight fingers, Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, and, of course, don't forget Rudolph. But I will tell you that I have in my possession right here on this paper a ninth rated here that you may not be aware of. 866-348-7884. So, Ken, have you got some? Tell me about those guys, the new believers, what that's like to see that. You could probably get to see that every year at the Rescue Mission.
Well, that's actually what I was going to say. It's in that respect, it's Christmas all year long, because the greatest part really is seeing guys that come in broken, without hope, and just messed up. They've really wrecked their lives, and to see them get a hold of the principles and the relationship with Jesus Christ, and start applying those and walking those, they become new people. I've seen such transformations. From the physical part of it to just the attitudes, the mental part. And right now we have a group of guys that are really serious about what they're doing. They're really focused and encouraging each other and paying attention and applying. And it's just, it's an amazing miracle. You know, when Christ talks about, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And to see that actually lived out in these guys and see that transformation, that is the greatest present ever.
Oh, wow. And, you know, I'm kind of jealous that you get to see that. But, you know, all of us can have an opportunity that I couldn't recommend high enough. Is if you want to have a really fun adventure with your family this Christmas, you could go down to the Church of Scientology, and that would be an interesting time. But I would, if you go to the Rescue Mission, they will give you a tour. And I think you will have a chance to see Christmas in a new angle, because those tours to the Rescue Mission, you know, right when I first came to work for Truth Broadcasting many, many, many years ago, they took me on a tour, and I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten the men and how they responded to me. And so that's available for you and your family this Christmas. Now, I am personally shocked that no one has called in with the ninth reindeer of Santa. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUE. See, this is one time on Kingdom Pursuits you won't find the answer in the Bible, I don't think. Although the word is probably in the Bible several times. 866-348-7884. We got so much more coming up on all this. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed to have with us Ken Heater with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission and their Christmas 2018 drive that's kind of going on right now. There's an opportunity for so many of us to be blessed to take part in that ministry, which has so much amazing fruit. And we have Jay Howard, who's with Focus on the Faulty, an amazing ministry to people that are trapped in cults and those kind of things, which are as near and dear to my own heart as I have. If you might understand, Jay, having been a member of the Sea Organization, there is rarely a week of my life that I don't get a call from Scientology.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you're ever in, you just don't get out. In fact, you sign a contract for, I think, 8 million years. I forget how many. It was a long time. Because they believe in, past lives and future lives and all those kind of things. So you sign this contract for a long time. But they literally do. They call me. And I can always tell it's them because my name when I was in Scientology was Bob. I changed it to Robbie later in life. And so when they call, I always know it's them because they go, "Is this Bob Dillmore?" And I go, "Hi, Church of Scientology. How are you guys doing?" And it gives me an opportunity. I've tried so many different ways to witness to these guys over the years because, it's just like, okay, it's almost like Groundhog Day. That here we go again. How are we going to try to do it this time, Jay? Because, it's just like a fertile field for me. So we're going to talk to Jay about that. We've got Ken with the rescue mission. But right now I'm very excited because we have Laura is in Raleigh and she has an answer to the ninth reindeer. Laura, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. God bless you.
Thank you.
I think it's one because 7, 8, 9.
Oh.
Okay, maybe not.
As always, my listeners come out with something I never had heard of before. I'm going to have to add that to my repertoire.
Well, then I told the old lady who asked, I said, "Man, I can't remember how many reindeer there was."
So now we have Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen. So I'm up to 10 now. So we got Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitzen, Rudolph, and one.
That was my first one, and I thought, well, no, because he ate 7, 8, 9.
There you go. Same thing. Yeah, but there's another one that you have not thought of yet. But good news is that somebody will call in with it, and you won. And and I love your answer. Thank you, Laura. God bless.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You too. Merry Christmas. So, Jay, give us some help. What you get this guy, and believe me, I understand completely why they're calling me, why they stay on the phone, why you can't get them off the phone, because I understand the principles that they've been taught and what it is that they're trying to do. What is your advice to somebody in the Church of Scientology?
Well, when I've talked to a few Scientologists over the years, and sharing the gospel with them is more like I'm going to have to see them as just, and I know this sounds a little weird, but as, just regular unsaved people because, there's no real, there's no real crossover between biblical Christianity and the Church of Scientology. They believe in Thetans and being clear and all these things. And so, just sharing the gospel with them because they are unsaved, there's really, you don't necessarily have to debunk their beliefs because
They're taught to read the Bible. In fact, we had to memorize the Gospel of John, and they believe that's all part of the deal.
Yeah, but they don't really see, they don't see Jesus the same way the Christians do. They don't see.
Oh, there's no doubt that there's lies all over the place in there. But you do have an interesting conflict right there immediately because they'll say, "Oh, you can be a Christian completely and still be a Scientologist." I love what you're doing, Robbie. I love your faith. That's awesome. But you can also still be a Scientologist.
Well, a few years ago, a friend and I, he invited me to go down to Clearwater to lecture with him. So we went down there and taught on Scientology, Clearwater, Florida, which is
the
church.
It is now. It didn't used to be, but yeah.
And they were very aggressive towards us. They found out our schedule. I'm still not sure how they did that, but they had an agent in every meeting that I was in and every meeting that Craig was in, and they basically just glared at us, you know, from the front row, and they were obviously, you know, there's no camaraderie, you know. That they talk about, you know, I've heard them say this to me, that, well, you can be a, you know, Christian and be a Scientologist because there's no problem, but they're very hostile to biblical Christianity. And so there really is, you know, there's no crossover. There's just no similarities, things that you can...
I wouldn't necessarily agree with you there. The word hostile is an interesting word, and I think a lot of people really fear the Church of Scientology because they don't understand much about it. And it's like, I imagine that if I came out of the Mormon Church, I would have a completely different view of it as well. I understanding the lies that they're entrapped by, and anytime you tell somebody that they can't save themselves, you're gonna, you know, the gospel is a is a confronting thing that really puts people mad enough to kill you, you know. But as far as, you know, what they're taught and whatever, they're not necessarily coming in there as aggressively, like, I'm going to go after Christians. My experience has not been that. That's what I could say to that. But it is a fascinating thing. And so, moving, interestingly, we also have Ken Heater with us. And so, Ken, I'm curious on your take on all that.
I'm probably not going to get too far into something I'm not as familiar with. But as you talk about this subject, there's actually a lot of parallelism in any system,
right?
Even in your mainstream churches, because if you get the focus and allow the focus to be on me and what I can do to get myself to heaven,
right?
I don't care what your teaching base is, if that's your belief and activity, and as long as I live a good life and I treat people right and I give and and I'm kind and I don't murder anybody and all a whole other
right.
list,
right?
You know, then that's the same problem, because we only have life through the finished work of Christ and Him alone, nothing that we can do. And we're constantly working with our guys on this as well, because many of them will come in with religion.
Oh, yeah.
They've been well exposed to teachings and even to truth, but they haven't understood it and accepted it and made that a central part of who they are in their relationship with Jesus Christ, and developing that instead, and letting the truth come from the source of truth.
Yeah, and I would say, Jay, in my own experience with Scientologists, which I've had many, 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 as you might imagine, because it's kind of like Groundhog Day every week, that if I try to take on their belief system, which I can do because I understand their belief system really, really, really well, to get into the C organization, the Church of Scientology, you have to go through a lot, and you have to raise through the ranks. And I was a missionary in the C organization. I wasn't just in the C organization. So I had a real lot of training in most of the technology of Scientology, and I understand it well enough to discuss it with anybody I've ever had on the phone at great detail. But I can tell you, because it's like Groundhog Day, I'm going to have that conversation again in a week with somebody else. I've never had anywhere close to any fruit taking on their belief system. Where I get fruit is by saying, you know, I loved Scientology when I was there, but I found something that really has just made all the difference in my life, where I feel like I have life, and I have it abundantly, like you read about in John. Only I didn't even understand what abundant was when I was in Scientology. And you begin to get their attention then, but that doesn't mean that the thing's just going to go down. But I'm curious, with talking to other religions, have you ever had any progress in actually taking on their belief system?
Well, I mean, you know, I've witnessed to all kinds of, you know, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, some Scientologists, people in the Unification Church, you know, you just keep doing this over the years, and yeah, you do see some fruit. More often than not, you know, what I look to do is plant seeds of information, you know, that either is contrary to the cult or is, you know, biblical truth that can, you know, basically cause them to doubt what they believe. And that's really the key to getting a person out of a cult, is first they have to start to see there's you know, internal problems with, like, the history of the group or the belief system of the group. And once they actually get to a point where they realize that there's some issues that they don't have answers to.
Now, once again, I'm going to jump in here and say that isn't my experience, because I didn't come out of Search Scientology from a standpoint of, oh, Scientology. And believe me, I know a lot about Ron Hubbard. I know so much about Ron. I know way more than I want to know about Ron Hubbard on all sorts of different levels, not to mention I've talked to the man and listened to I don't know how many of his lectures. So I have a real grasp on him, but I didn't come out of that because I understood that where the lies were. Actually, Christ came after me and through my wife and through other Christians that were in my life that were just, they didn't even take on science. They didn't even, most of them even know, my wife knew about it, but most of them didn't even know about it. They were just beginning to show me, you know, their relationship with Christ and those kind of things. And what I saw there is what made all the difference. Like, oh, I could do this and all that other stuff. Once I began to understand what Christ was offering me, then all that began to look like lies. So I don't mean to be argumentative, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. We've got so much more coming with Jay Howard. We're going to find out a lot about what the Rescue Mission needs this Christmas when we come back. We're going to dive right into that. So stay tuned. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming your way. Stay tuned. Oh, what about the ninth reindeer? We know about the 10th, but we haven't found out about the 9th. 866-348-7884. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses that to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have with us Jay Howard, whose passion is for those people who are trapped in cults and lies that have them all encompassed, and Ken Heater with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. Ken, we've got a big Christmas coming up, and you guys, this is a time of year where things step up, and you take on a lot of projects.
And we really do. And this is our time of year for us, of course, that we also play a little bit of a catch-up because our summer months tend to be a little more challenging financially. And so we find that our largest supply months are actually the end of the year. And so we are really trying to bring that to folks' attention and share with them what God is doing in terms of changed lives and not only in the residential programs for our men for recovery, and seeing the work that God is doing there, but also in the community outreach impacts that we're able to have and being able to impact over 10,500 people this year, this past fiscal year. And just, we can't do that without the partnership that we experience from folks. And so we're trying to raise about $430,000 here at the end of the year. And so we're looking for folks to just prayerfully consider and challenging them to let God move their heart for what he wants them to do. Because ultimately, he is our supply.
Right.
But he wants to use individuals and be able to go to our website and be able to give there with the Donate Now button. We also can do stocks. We have other kind of donations as well to the thrift store, which those proceeds help underwrite programs. So there's a lot of opportunities and a real need for you to be able to give. And that's wsrescue.org. And there's a big red Donate Now button. And just to join us in partnership, as God is changing the future one life at a time, we're challenging you and asking you to be a part of that.
Yeah, a lot of folks, including my father, the other day, he said, well, I've got to, you know, do some end-of-the-year giving. You know, who might you recommend, Robbie? And actually, you guys were first on my list. I said, well, I can just tell you that if you want to see fruit, like, man, lives that are changed, because I see these, you go to their graduation, go take a tour, go, you know, anytime you want. And see what God's doing at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. And, you know, it just blows my mind, you know, the different men. Because, again, I've had a chance to, over the years, do all the interviews. And so I have the actual experience of having this guy in front of me telling me I was on drugs, I was on alcohol, I was suicidal, I just got out of prison. And, you know, my life was in the ditch, and now look what's happened. And one of the beauties is the families all are involved. You know, that wives get their husbands back, brothers get their sister, you know, or sisters get their brother back, mothers get their kids back, and you have one of those stories you wanted to share.
I do. There's one gentleman, a mother, has shared her thoughts, and I just want to share a couple of those with you here. It says, the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission welcomed him, talking about her son, with open arms, no judgments, and only Christ-like love. I've always contributed to this organization, and she talks about what she's donated and so forth. But in my wildest dreams, I didn't fathom the impact they could have on a young man's life, and not just anyone, but my very own son. He's been transformed into a walking testimony of his belief and has grown and matured in a way that can only be attributed to Christ. She goes on to say that children he once ignored now know he's their dad and how God is changing him. And then he's now telling others what he once refused to believe himself, that there is no place and person God's love cannot reach. No one is too far gone for God, whose power can change anyone and anything.
Yeah, so, and Jay, I'm wondering, in your ministry, you have a chance to talk to a lot of lost souls, too. Is there a story of somebody you saw come out of that and begin a relationship with Christ you want to share?
Well, quite a few years ago, I was called in by a pastor who had a woman who was visiting his church who was a Mormon. And so I came to the church, and we sat down with this young woman, and I shared with her several problems of Mormonism that you know, she had never considered before, and she later became a Christian. I mean, I didn't pray with her that day, but she later became a Christian, and she became very committed to her faith. But and you see that a lot in the cult is people who are following false teachings. Once they, you know, they come to faith through whatever means, they become really very vibrant Christians, because, you know, they basically were enslaved, or they were following a false gospel, a counterfeit gospel, and a counterfeit Christ and a counterfeit God. And now when they found the real, you know, the genuine article, they become really, you know, really plugged into the gospel, plugged into Christianity, and they typically become, they work in the church, they do anything they can to help the church. I mean, they're just really, you know, really great Christians, because they served, the false for so long.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that. I had a chance to view a movie that's coming out in March that's absolutely phenomenal. It's called Unplanned, and it's the story of, I think her name is Abby Johnson, that was with Planned Parenthood in Houston, Texas, and she ran the Planned Parenthood in that area, and through 40 Days for Life and other organizations, praying every day at the fence, you know, she became, she left Planned Parenthood and joined them at the fence. And has become very vocal, wrote the book Unplanned, and now there's a movie coming out about her life. But as you watch the story in this movie, which, again, you don't want to miss this March, it was the people at the fence that loved on her and reached out to her in love. They didn't tell her that she was a baby killer. That didn't have much effect on her, obviously. How would you like that? But the ones that said, oh, Abby, how are you? I see you're fixed to have a baby, and really engaged in her life and treated her like she was a person and they really loved her, you know, those were the ones that when she wanted to get out of Planned Parenthood, guess who she ran to? And so, you know, it's the same thing when we're looking at anybody, even an alcoholic or a drug addict, right? You can sit there and condemn them for what they're doing. How much... It's grace that changes things, isn't it?
Well, had to realize a long time ago that we're all sinners, including me. And God has shown us grace, and we need to show that same grace to other people. Ultimately, it is crucial, not only do we share the right things with folks, but that we do that with that spirit of love and caring and kindness and grace that God has shown us, because ultimately, it's God who does the changing. God who does the work, but he uses us as a vessel to help prep that. And how we conduct ourselves in that sharing of truth is going to make all the difference too.
And so if you go on that, I'd be almost willing to bet if you go on the tour, the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission this season, and you have a chance to talk to one of the guys for a minute, one of the questions they will ask you is, why would you care about me? Mm-hmm. You know, they feel like a failure. They feel like, why would anybody give up any time to come visit me? Why would anybody do anything for me? Isn't that a very common thing that they feel?
Absolutely. And the thing is, we, if you've not been through something like that, or we who have not experienced that firsthand, do not realize the depth to which they have fallen, because they've come to the place normally where they've lost everything. They're feeling guilty. Their self-image is torn apart. Their failures, everything is just messed up that they touch. And they come in at the bottom. And we don't look at them that way because we're at the bottom. But God takes them, and then the dramatic change that happens from that. In fact, one guy's testimony, just three lines here I wanted to share with you. After he graduated from the program and came through the other side successfully, he's saying, "My values and priorities have changed so that I can feel happy about the quality of life I'm living. I do not live in fear anymore. My mistakes from the past no longer define me today. I will live out the rest of my life with my head held high, knowing that I am a child of God." And that's just a radical change from the mindset and the feelings and the experiences that they come in with. Not that there's anything magical about us, but God uses His truth to transform these lives individually, and He gives us the opportunity to be vessels and instruments in that process. And those who support this ministry also have that same instrumentality that God is using to accomplish His purposes, which only He can do in a person's
life. Right, and you think about Abby Johnson standing there at the fence, and she is thinking, why would that person care anything about me, because I'm the enemy to them? And that stands up in the crowd to go, huh, why is this person talking to me like this? And really what you do, Jay, is exactly that. You're caring about people that a lot of us, you know, judge as they're in a cult. They're poisoning the minds of the brethren. And when you're reaching out in love to those people, I mean, that's a huge thing.
Well, that's really the key to sharing the gospel with people in the cult. As you know, I'm also working with the social justice issue. I'm trying to get onto campuses to talk to social justice students who are, you know, you see the television, you see Antifa, you see all these people like hating their professors and screaming at people and attacking people. And as I worked on this new presentation this spring on the social justice movement, I started realizing that these students are totally lost. They're not in a cult, but they're just totally lost. Probably didn't have much church upbringing when they were younger, and they've glommed onto the social justice movement now, and it's become their, you know, their lifeline in a sense. It's their way of you know, thinking of themselves as worthwhile people. But you know, you can tell from the hatred and the anger that comes out of this movement that they really need to hear the gospel.
Right, and I want to get into what you're talking about, social justice, when we come back. But I am shocked that nobody knows the ninth reindeer. We got the 10th, but nobody has named the ninth. It's not Dasher, Dancer, Prancer. It's not Rudolph. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. We got a book we're going to give away in this segment. So stay tuned. So much more coming up. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And if you have a passion for reindeer, you're in luck today, because that's the riddle. How many reindeer does Santa have? We had one being added to the list that's normally Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen. Now, the ninth reindeer is the one that we're after, and during the break, our guest, Ken Heater, gave me a wonderful hint, and here you go. This female reindeer did not treat Rudolph very nicely. That's a huge clue. And I also might mention, if you take her name, which is used throughout the Bible many times, if you were to crush her, it would make oil that would light a lamp. So, how's that for riddles? 866-348-7884. But I had decided during the break that I was going to give a little Scientology lesson. I didn't mean to do this, but I think it's helpful to understand a little bit about, if you ever do deal with somebody in Scientology, that the Scientology has, if you look at the S in Scientology, you're going to see there's two triangles, and they are the ARC and the KRC triangles. And if you really are engaged with somebody who understands Scientology and speaks Scientology and is going to act on their teaching in Scientology, ARC is a huge deal to them. And that triangle of ARC stands for affinity, which means loving or liking of somebody, reality, and communication. And so the reason why you would never, and I know there's a lot of shows on Scientology, they're going to show that they're hostile and all this stuff, but I'm just going to tell you, if somebody's really taught in Scientology, they will never flow anger to you. They will never flow hostility because they know that would ARC break you. In other words, they're trying to agree on a reality, which is one of the three points of that triangle. And so for us to have reality, we have to have affinity and we have to have communication. So if I hang up the phone, I'm going to break communication. That's why you can never get them off the phone, is because they don't want ARC break you. That's the reason why they will never flow anger if they're really well trained, because you know that would ARC break you and you couldn't come to the same reality. And again, they're trying to proselytize you at the same time you're trying to proselytize them. And so while they're trying to sell you on Scientology, they would never flow hostility. You know, it's just, or they really don't understand their own religion, as it were. So the interesting thing, you know, when you face that dilemma is, how do I get this guy off the phone? So we got Peyton in Raleigh who knows the answer to the riddle. We got Peyton, you're on King O. Peyton hasn't been released yet to give me the answer, so as soon as Rachel gets done with him, she's getting his information. So the exciting thing is we're going to get there. So I don't know. Did you know that, Jay, about the ARC triangle?
No, actually I didn't. But it's funny you should say this because I run into several Scientologists who haven't been reading their own literature because they are toward, you know, they're very hostile. I see them at conferences, you know, Christian conferences I go to because they send Scientologists to check us out when we have these conferences. And yeah, I've seen their agents, and they're very they're kind of angry. They don't talk to you nicely. They're rather mean. So apparently,
yeah, I'm really surprised. Yeah, I guess it's like Muslim fundamentalists. You know, it's hard to understand what they're doing, but that isn't what Ron Hubbard taught them. I can assure you that isn't. You know, and again, Ron Hubbard's been dead for a lot of years. I'm not selling Scientology. There's lies in there that, again, speak to what Ken talked about earlier. Here's the idea behind Scientology. The reason why they're going to make you clear, the reason why they want you to be OT or an operating Thetan, is that you're going to get yourself to heaven. You're going to buy yourself a stairway to heaven. You can save yourself. There's the lie. You do all this stuff, and you're going to get there. And it's a very similar lie that you will find in all the cults, right, Jay?
Yeah, no, they're all works-based systems. No matter how much they say grace is involved, when you really start talking to them, it's really about, you know, tithing, you know, keeping feast days. You know, you got to make sure you're, you know, worshiping on Saturday, not Sunday. I mean, it's all kinds of different things that if you do one of those little infractions, you've lost your salvation. So they never promise you salvation. They kind of, it's like the carrot and the stick. They hold it out in front of you, but they never give it to you.
Right. Well, we have Peyton now in Raleigh who can tell us about the ninth reindeer. I'm very excited about this. Peyton, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
Peyton, do you have the answer for the ninth
reindeer? I don't know. Is it Olive?
You're exactly.
I mean, that was a giveaway when you said you can make oil from it.
Yeah, so if I can sing the song to you, you'll immediately identify the ninth reindeer because Olive, the other reindeer, she used to laugh and call him names.
Yeah, you know, they all of the other. Yeah, Olive, huh? All of the other. Olive. Okay.
Isn't that fun? That's
yes,
just
sir.
That. And she didn't treat Rudolph very nice, you know? That's the whole thing. So there you go.
God. Okay, right.
Thank you, Peyton. You're a winner. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Merry
too.
Christmas. So, Ken, getting back to our friends here at the Rescue Mission, and they're coming in, and, you know, they've come up against a system that obviously they don't know what to do to get life, and so they've turned to alcohol, drug, some addiction. And religion itself is an addiction.
Can be, yep.
I mean, yeah, your heart becomes consumed with, I've got to be clear, or, you know, I've got to be amongst the 144,000, you know, if you're Jehovah's Witness. You become addicted to this stuff, and it's a trap because you've bought the lie.
Well, Robert, we've found that our programs and services are effective because they are Christ-centered and Bible-based. And understanding that and understanding the principles of Scripture, it's very clear that, again, we talked about God is the one that's got to change their heart. We're the vessels and we're the instruments that are used as we share the truth of God's Word. But I've not only seen this applied in the lives of these men at the programs, but even in my own personal life with my own son. Just 2 years ago, he was 35 at the time, he finally made a decision to accept Christ as a Savior, but it was not through anything that we had done as parents. But God really had to work personally in his heart and life and bring home the truth of his love for John. And John is a dynamically different person today because of the love and truth of Jesus Christ.
It's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, just to go way off on a rabbit trail that I love to do, when Jacob is blessing his children, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but he goes through and he's blessing all this one. And then he gets to Dan and he says, you're a serpent by the roadside that's going to bite the horse's heel and he's going to fall off backwards. Now, if I'm blessing my kid, I'm just not throwing that one out there. It's not. But then very interestingly, he says, in the way it's normally translated in English is, I wait on your salvation, O Lord. Now, it's like I stopped in the middle of, I'm trying to bless my kids, and then, wait a minute, this isn't coming out so good, so I'm just going to wait on. But if you were to read that in Hebrew, what it says is, kava, which means to be gathered into. It does mean to wait, but it really means to be gathered into, like a rope is twisted together. Kava, Yeshua, which is the word for salvation in Hebrew, which is Jesus. So it's, I'm going to be gathered into Jesus, Jehovah. So it's like he stopped in the middle of his blessing of and said, wait a minute, I got nothing for you, Dan. I'm waiting on Jesus. and you know, that's really, really hopeful to me as I think about it, that, you know, here's Jacob, he's blessing his kids, and then, oh, wait a minute, this really isn't going to be my blessing, that it's going to be what God does. I'm waiting on your salvation, your Jesus, Jehovah.
Well, I can tell you, Robbie, as a parent, there's no greater gift than to have your child restored to you.
Oh, man.
And that is the business that God is in, though, restoring each one of us to himself, reconciling us to himself, and giving us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is what we have the privilege of doing every day, of seeing God work that way in these individual lives and being instruments used that way, along with the thousands of volunteers that we have each year.
And the money that's invested that allows that to happen. Because if you go down to the Rescue Mission, you'll see they do have a phenomenal amount of resources that make this available to men that, you know, they're not going to be able to work and make money during this year it's going to take to get straight. That, wow, what you provide allows these men to have the time to really go deep, both in counseling and in Christ, in order to. And you guys got a big counseling deal going on this year, right?
We're real excited about the certification program that we'll be finishing up next year. It's a 3-year program where our counselors will now be certified by the state. What that does is give us extra tools that we can use with our Bible-based counseling that we do. But it helps us with our intake, our assessments, finding out really more what's going on with the individual and the group counseling. And just it raises it to a higher level of service and ability to actually minister to these guys in a lot of different ways.
That is really cool. So, and Jay, I think about you in the same exact boat of you have this opportunity to reach all these people. Have you got a last word for our listeners about how they can connect with your ministry while we got just a minute left?
Yeah, if they want to go to focusinthefaulty.org, that's our website. You can contact me. Articles on cults and all kinds of things. And if you have any questions, you can email me or call me from the website.
All right. That website, again, you can connect to it at kingdompursuits.com as well as Rescue Mission, which is wsrescue.org, or call 336-723-1848. Now, so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine. I'm so grateful that you called, listened. You now know who the Knight's Reindeer is, if nothing else. And so we look forward to you having a wonderful Advent season here with Kingdom Pursuits. God bless.